Wonderful to be back tonight. Amen. Great, great singing in the choir and the specials tonight. Thank y'all so much for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes y'all's church reminds me of my church. And I tell our church, I say, I want y'all to say amen. And y'all do that. And they do that. And I said, but y'all don't say it loud enough. I was preaching one Sunday, and my son-in-law was sitting over there. I said, Mark, you ought to say amen to that. And we got home for dinner, and he said, my daughter's home, he said, Daddy, he had just said amen when you preached. I said, he didn't say it loud enough. I like loud amens. I like loud amen. Well, that's better. That's better. Amen. I'm not knocking your church. Amen. Y'all do remind me of my church. Really do. That's why I preach like that here. Amen. Like I did last night. That's why I preach here, because I feel like I'm home. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't preach like I preached last night everywhere and feel liberty. I told y'all a little bit about that last night. Amen. But I felt all kind of liberty. I didn't go home worried one bit. I didn't lose one bit of sleep last night over what I preached. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That wasn't loud enough. I like it loud. They ought to hear it out there in the highway. If you'd ride my football game, you'd hear them shouting. You'd hear them shouting. That's a carnal illustration, but I'm saying we ought to outdo the world. I got more to shout on a touchdown. I got a touchdown. Amen. I got touched. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. I feel wide open tonight. I wish I could preach like I felt. Amen. I normally don't, though. Amen. So don't get your hopes up, all right? Dr. Sexton told me last night before church, he said, I'm building them all up for you now, preacher. I said, please don't do that, preacher. Please don't do that. If you knew my limitations, amen. All right, good to see Dr. Jones. Amen. It always makes me nervous when he walks in. Amen. He's a real doctor, and I'm just a nurse. Amen. I really mean that. I have been with Brother Jones. We've preached together so many times, I always feel intimidated to preach around him. Amen. What a great man of God. And your pastor, what a great man of God. We had a good supper, but I enjoyed the fellowship more than the supper, preacher. I really did. Amen. Like spirits, kindred spirits. Amen. And I appreciate that. Amen. I want to read two verses tonight. Amen. And one of the verses I'm going to read, and I'll explain to you how I feel when I read it. But I want you to turn to Judges, if you would. Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. I'll read one verse there. And then I'll read the second verse, and I'll explain a little bit how I feel about it. Amen. Judges chapter number 16. Amen. And then if you're physically able, stand. If you're not, just remain seated. I really mean that. If you're physically able to stand, we'll stand. And Judges chapter 16, verse number 22. The Bible said, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And then I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at verse number 32. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Lord, I don't know where you could have gone and heard any better singing than we've heard tonight. Spirit of the Sphinx is singing. Bless my heart. The words of the songs. Bless my heart tonight. God, I'm like the preacher. I just feel full and excited and happy to be in the house of God. Lord, please help us tonight. We're not here to entertain. Not here to be a performer. God, we're here to try to preach the Word of God. Please help me to do that tonight. Lord, I'm very aware of my limitations and I need the help of God. Please help us tonight to say something that would bring honor and glory to you and help the people of God. Thank you for this great church and those that make it up and the pastor and his family. Lord, I'm so honored and so thrilled to be here. Please help us now tonight, God, that you'd get all glory and somebody would get some help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When I read that in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible said time would fail to tell of these characters, and one of them was Samson. And then when I begin to think about what to preach today, and the Lord directed me to preach about Samson, and I began to study about that and meditate on that, it is so much in the life of Samson that you really don't know where to start. My battle was today not what getting material to preach on. My battle today was, Where do you start and where do you finish about the life of Samson? There is so much to be told in the lives of this man, and so many different ways you can go at the sermon, amen, about his life. So I just started today, I preach on his whole life, amen. You could pick out portions and deal with this issue and deal with that issue, but it was hard to get settled on exactly how to approach the service tonight. In my process of thinking today and meditating to get ready, I had a situation, and this is a negative situation, but a situation that come to me here, I'd probably say in the last year, I was preaching at a certain place, and a preacher was preaching with me, and when he got three preached before I did, and when I got up into the pulpit to bring my message, that preacher was walking down. And when he went to walk back to his pew, I said, brother, and I wouldn't dare call his name. I said, brother, and he turned around and looked at me, and I said, you are a model preacher. I said, your content, your delivery, your personality, everything about you, the way you conduct yourself, the way you carry yourself, everything about you is a model preacher. Some 3 months later, that preacher's gone. A woman got him. I had just said, maybe my time frame, 3 months, probably 6 months later. 6 months later, I got a call that he is now out of the ministry. And I had just made the comment 6 months earlier, you are a model preacher. When I made that comment, I preached my message, went to the fellowship hall, we sat down one with another across the table, and he said this to me. He said, preacher, thank you for that wonderful compliment. I don't feel worthy of that. I said, none of us are worthy, brother. And you know, I say this, and Brother Jones, I know several times, I guess we've been in meetings, I've made this statement lately. I'm getting a little bit older now, and this was a younger man, and I made the statement. He said to me, Brother Willis, would you please pray for me? I said, you can be sure I'm praying for you. Not only did he have all those characteristics, but he was a nice-looking young man. And that's kind of, I even made a statement about that. That's kind of dangerous. Listen to me, church. I'm not being carnal. I'm just telling you, the devil is out to stop you. He is out. If you're living for God and serving God and trying to do right, there is a real devil that is out to stop you. Most of the time, it don't take the devil in our lives. It's the world and the flesh. You know, when Job got tempted, he got tempted by the devil. That tells me the world didn't get Job. The flesh didn't get Job. So the devil had to go after Job. And I tell you, in most of our falling today, it's not the devil, it's the world. And the flesh gets us, and we throw away our whole lives on the world, the flesh, and the devil. Samson was a great man of God. He's in Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, I read that one day, and I meditated on that one day, and I did some reading. Job's not in Hebrews 11. If I was writing Hebrews 11, I would have put Job in Hebrews 11 and left Samson out. Somebody help me. But God recorded Samson's name, and there's a lot of great men in the Bible didn't get to Hebrews chapter 11, but Samson did. And I know Hebrews 11 is not about our failures. Hebrews 11 is about our faith. Amen. But nevertheless, he's recorded. So that tells me he is a child of God. There is no doubt in my mind about Samson being a child of God. He is a man that we would call in our day a born-again Christian. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? But his weaknesses overcame his strengths. He's known as being a strong man. But his weaknesses overcame his strength. You know, the Bible said in chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible said about Samson in chapter 13, verse number 5, it says, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite from God, unto God from his womb. And he began to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The Bible said he began to do that. A lot of people began. He never did really do it till he died. My point is into this. A lot of people begin. There's a lot of people begin serving God. But a big crowd doesn't finish serving God. Matter of fact, I'll text tonight, the Bible said his hair began to grow again. Amen. I'm glad he had a second beginning. I'm glad God, though we fail, doesn't let us down, and he was willing to let us start again. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to deal with some things about how does a man get blinded, binding and grinding? How does a man get to that point? And even burying in the life of Samson. How does a man get to that point? It doesn't happen overnight. Amen. Things were working in the life of Samson that, hey, ultimately brought him to the fall that he fell when he fell into sin. I preached this to my church not too long ago, or some of this to my church not long ago, and I made this statement when I started. I said, I'm going to give like that the church a revelation of your life. I'm going to tell you exactly how your life is going to end if you don't do what the Bible says. Amen and amen. Samson, as we well know, died. I believe he died because he got under the will of God. Amen and amen. So what brought about this in his life? First of all, he started going wrong when he despised his heritage. He despised his heritage. In chapter number 13 and verse number 2, the Bible said, and verse 13, verse number 2, the Bible said, there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. First of all, he was had a heritage that his mother was barren, which could not have a child. So he was a miracle child in his birth. And I'm going to tell you, all of us that are here tonight, it took a miracle to get us into this world. Amen. As I was studying that, I thought about this. His wife's name's not mentioned. His mother's name's not mentioned. His daddy is called Manoah, but the mother's not even mentioned. Though she's recorded as being the one that birthed him, God didn't seem to see fit to write her name in the Bible. My point is simply this. He was sent by God. He was ordained by God. I mean from the very birth to be what God called him to be. That is, a deliverer to Israel. So he was sent from God. He was separated unto God. In verses 4 and verse 5, the Bible tells, and I won't take time to read all of that, but the Bible says he was to be a Nazarite. In other words, he was not to touch wine. He was not to be around any dead thing. He was letting no razor come to his hair, according to Numbers chapter 6. And we can study that tonight, but that's not my point. He was to be separated unto God. Now listen to this. He was to be separated unto God. That's a big difference. Not separated because the church said so. Separated because God said so. I think most of our separation in our church today is because the preacher says so. Somebody help me. What are you trying to say, preacher? I was studying 1 John. Dr. Jones, I was studying 1 John. I'd never read this probably within the last year or two. And they said, in writing to 1 John, they would have third generation in mind. And here's what it said about that. I never read this. It said, first generation, hey, Bible truths are conviction. Second generation, Bible truths are a belief. Third generation, Bible truths are opinion. In other words, in my church, I am preaching to a third generation. And I have seen that in my church. It's a conviction with me. It's a belief for the second generation. It's an opinion to the third generation. Here's what they say, preacher. Oh, that's what the preacher believes. You better get more of what the preacher believes. You better get it from God. Amen. This is not coming to church, hey, to ride on the preacher's conviction. This is coming to church to believe this is what the Bible said. Dear God, preacher, you act like you're mad. I am. I'm mad at the devil. Everywhere I turn, people are throwing in the towel, quitting and falling. I'm sick of it, amen. By the grace of God, I want to finish well. Amen. He was sent from God. He was separated unto God. There was supplication to God on his behalf. Verse number 5, the Bible says that he was prayed for, and God sent this young man into this family. Hey, he was to be a deliverer, a special child. They were to keep him clean, keep him pure, and cause him to be godly. Amen. Manoah prayed for him, verse 8. Hey, his wife had perception about him in verse number 3. How shall we order him in verse 12? And Manoah said, now let my words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? He had a godly heritage. I just studied today. I said, this is what I'm going to preach tonight. This church, you young people, have a godly heritage. Don't throw it in. Don't lose what God has birthed you into. Amen. Hey, we as parents have a sobering job to raise our children for God in a wicked, wicked, wicked world. Amen and amen. They were to bring him up, not let him down. Amen. I read this somewhere, I'm sure I did. I'm not smart enough to get there. And one writer said it's better to be a poor gardener than it is to be a poor guardian. What do you mean? Well, if you're a gardener and the cucumbers fall and the corns fall and the crops fall, you can throw it away. But if you're a guardian and your child falls, you got to live with it. Somebody help me. Man, I just feel like throwing away my notes and just preaching. Anybody listening? I'm telling you, this world and the flesh is working on our young people. Like I've never seen before. Young people, you're looking at a preacher, I may holler and scream, my face may get red, but I ain't mad at it. I'm mad at the devil that's trying to destroy you. Amen and amen. Samson had a godly heritage. But you know what? He threw it all in for the world, the flesh, and the devil. Mainly the world and the flesh. Hey, he defied his parents' authority. Look in chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Are y'all listening to me? Bible said he went to a place called Timnath. Amen. Bible said he saw one of the Philistines' daughters there. In other words, my point is simply this. If you start hanging around the Philistines, you're sure to fall. Amen and amen. Everything about this situation down. He went down geographically. He went down spiritually. Amen. Philip, I was telling the pastor at supper time, Philip is out in Oklahoma and he's going to a school on drug addiction. And here's what they told him in the school today. He called back home and we were talking to him and he said, Daddy, here are the statistics they give us in this school about drug addicts. First of all, he said, in 75% of those that come to that home or that rescue mission, 75% don't make it. Right off the cuff, 75% don't make it. 25%, amen, that makes it after 5 years, only 7 or 8 of them are left. Now, why am I giving you all of that? Anytime you begin to go down, it's going to be hard to get back. Are you listening to me? Here's what we're experiencing in our home. Not many get back. Are you listening to me? Thank God we were talking about that stuff again today. Thank God if only one comes back. But I'm telling you, when you start going down the road of sin, not many get back. Amen and amen. Hey, you know why he defied his parents' authority? He demanded his parents in verse number 2. Hey, verse number 2, verse 14, now chapter 14. And he came up and told his father and mother, said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me. Look over in verse number 3, latter part. Get her for me. In other words, he's not requesting, he's not asking, he's demanding his parents what to do. I want to tell you, Samson wasn't raised like that. Samson wasn't raised in a home where you demand your parents. He was raised in a home to respect his parents. But once you get on the road of sin, this is what happens. Amen and amen. Hey, he told his parents in verse number 2, go get her for me. In those days, the parents did a lot of negotiating, or most of the negotiating to get the mate for the one to get married. I'm not sure if that ain't a good idea today. I'm dealing with it right now. While I'm preaching this, I'm dealing with that right now. This young man likes this young woman. And the mom and daddies are involved. So help me. And the parents on this side are saying, preacher, I don't think this is going to work. This is not fitting. The parents on this side, they're saying things they ought not be saying. And now I had to cancel with the young man Sunday night. And he said, preacher, this is the girl for me. I want to marry her. What do you think? And I'm getting opinions from this side, and I'm getting opinions from this side, and I'm stuck right in the middle. You ever been there? You know who's going to be the loser? Somebody help me. You ought to pray for the preacher. Amen and amen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. They will get happy and get married and live happily ever after. And the mamas and daddies will get together and the priest is going to be in the hot ball. Somebody help me. Not really, not really. In this situation, this is a good situation. But the daddy's very concerned about his son marrying his daughter. And amen. And so the young boy comes, he's down in my church right now, and he wanted to talk to me Sunday night. And he said, preacher, this is the one. You know how y'all are when you fall in love. Y'all help me now. You know, hey, ain't nothing the preacher can say. He can say it, but you ain't gonna hear it because you in love. When they come sit across from your dad and they say they're going to get married, they don't need to say nothing because they're going to get married. Hey, they're in love. Somebody help me. Amen. And so he told me, he said, preacher, this is the one. He said, do you see anything in her that I should not marry her? I said, well, now you asking. I said, you're asking, right? He said, yeah, I want to know the truth. I said, I've heard that before. You want to know the truth? Yeah. I said, yeah, I see something I don't like. He said, what's that? I said, well, when she was down here, she's never been down here but one time. Number one, she ain't hardly spoke to me. Y'all, I hope y'all listen. You mean she likes you and you a member of my church and I'm the pastor? Ain't got nothing to do with Alfred Willis. She wants to marry you and you want to marry her and she won't even hardly speak to me? That's a problem. Hello? Man, I wasn't going to preach all this preaching. I said, that's the problem. I said, here's another problem. That girl, you and that girl, y'all going together. I said, every time I turn around, that girl was that close to your face. I said, that is not good. I said, let me tell you, you got flesh. And your flesh can't handle that. Y'all young people better listen to me. Amen and amen. Your flesh cannot hang around the opposite sex, amen, and get real close. They ain't kissing, but if they pucker their lips and meet, somebody help me. I'm telling you, if something's not done, there's going to be trouble. And I said, you ask me, I'm telling you, sure you want to know? Preacher, I can take it, Tim. I said, you better correct that, and you better tell her to correct it, and tell her to speak to me the next time. Y'all better listen to me. I don't mind laughing. I'm laughing myself. But I'm telling you, hey, he did not listen to his parents. I don't know how this turned into a youth meeting, but anyway, let's let it go anyway. Hey, he went down, he demanded his parents, amen. Hey, he deceived them into partaking in verse number 5, chapter 14, look at verse 5. The Bible said, then Samson went down, his father, his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Now he's got his mom and daddy down there. Anybody listen? Hey, he deceived them into partaking in verse number 5. Now notice this, look at verse 9. And the Bible said, and he took thereof in his hand and went on eating, and he came to his father and mother and gave to them. You know the story. He killed the lion. He come back by sometime later. There's honey in the lion. He gets the honey. He takes it to his mom and daddy. The whole story is he's being deceptive. Amen and amen. I put this down. He defeated the lion. Amen. A defeated lion still offers you some honey. Listen to me now. Even though it's dead, it still offers something sweet. I jotted this down today. I wanted to jot a whole bunch more down. I jotted this down. You can get a good message in a bad church. Every now and then. You can go to a liberal church, and I grant you in a month, you will probably hear a message that's good. But you better don't hang around that liberal church. You can get something good out of a bad situation. This is the honest to God truth. We've had men that come to our home and they were eating out of garbage cans. They were staying behind Hardee's, and at night when Hardee's would dump the food, they would go to the garbage can behind Hardee's and get food out of the garbage can to eat because they were living on the street. They got something good to eat out of a garbage can. But I wouldn't recommend it. Hey, what Samson did is he got something good out of something bad. Amen. It was forbidden. It was dead. And God told him not to go around anything dead. Does anybody listen? That's a whole message within itself. My point is simply this. Hey, you can get something good out of a dead lion. Do you know it don't even mention about him getting stung? Notice with me, the Bible said there was honey there, but the Bible don't even say nothing about him getting stung. Amen. I think the devil was setting him up. You can get honey out of a dead lion. Surely if there's honey there, there's got to be bees. But it didn't say the bees stung him. You know why? Because the devil was setting him up. I'm telling you, you're in a bad situation right now, and you think everything's going smooth. What the devil's doing is he's setting you up. Amen. Hey, I know it's not right. I know what I'm doing is not right. But nothing's happening bad. That's because the devil's setting you up. He's not going to let anything happen so he gets you. Amen. And then when he gets you, it's too late. Amen and amen. Hey, remember his separation vows were not to be around anything dead. Matter of fact, Samson's whole problem started when he left his separation vows. I know we're in a church that preaches separation. I know our church preaches, I know Brother Joe, I know our church that preaches separation. A lot of churches don't, but you better thank God. Separation is not to hurt you, separation is to help you. So many people view their separation as something negative. No, separation is what's keeping you clean and pure and right with God. Amen and amen. I don't want to get on that tonight. I'm just marvel at what I'm seeing. I mean, places I'm preaching and places I'm going and places I used to go that I don't get to go back no more because I preach like this. They used to enjoy this kind of preaching. Now they don't want you preaching that. Amen. And hey, what's happening to their churches? Their churches are going the way of the world and the flesh, and they're getting gobbled up by the world and the flesh. Thank God. You better thank God for your preaching every time he gets up with this book and tells you to stay away from the Philistines. Stay away from the world. Amen. You better amen him. Amen and amen. Hey, he went further down. The Bible said in verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. The Bible said, so the father went down unto the woman. Now he not only went down. Now he's down in Timnath. Now he's talking to the woman. And Samson made a feast there, for so used the young men to do. Now the father's even talking to the young Philistine girl. Stay with me just a minute, all right? Hey, now he's got the father manipulated. He's got his father manipulated now. And I thought about this. I've been a daddy and now I'm a granddaddy. And now, really, I'm a great-granddaddy. I've been waiting all week to tell you all that. But here's what I found about kids. They will press you and press you and press you and press you till finally you just about want to give in. And here's what you hear. Here's what you say. I'm always saying no. Can I do this, Daddy? No. Can we do this, Daddy? No. Can we go here, Daddy? No. Daddy, I really want to go. No. And you seem like you're always saying no, 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 no. And after a period of time, here's where it comes. I'm tired of saying no. And then you begin to be manipulated by them approaching you. Y'all quiet. Y'all getting quiet. I don't guess there's nothing to shout on. I'm just saying even Samson manipulated his own daddy. Now he's got his daddy down there talking to the girl. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Hey, he defied his parents' authority. He despised his precious heritage. Then notice this. He deliberately played with sin. Well, we're chapter 16 back in our text now. He whipped that lion, but he lost to that woman. Isn't it amazing? He whipped the lion and lost to the woman. Hey, notice his companions. Notice his companions. In chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible said, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he said about that woman, get her for me. I put this down in chapter 14, verse 1. He longed for that girl. In chapter 16, look in chapter 16, verse 1. Chapter 16, verse 1, and when Samson went to gaze and saw there a harlot and went unto her. Not only did he get a girl in Timnath, but now he's lusted after a girl in Gaza. And then, of course, a little bit later, chapter 16, verse 4, and it came to pass after he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So three women in the lives of Samson. Are you listening to me? There was the girl of Timnath, there was the girl at Gaza, there was Delilah. All of these girls were working to get Samson to fall. And I don't want to vary too far, but I tell the men in the home, I said, men, most of the men come to us, either they're not married, they're divorced, and marriage is a wreck. And here's what we tell just about all those men. Here's your number one thing you have to deal with. You have to deal with the opposite sex. And most of them don't make it. I know it's quiet. I don't mind it being quiet. I didn't come to laugh tonight anyway. This is heavy on my heart tonight. That young man that walked down that aisle and I said, son, you a model preacher. Tonight, he's out of the ministry. But here's what's worse than that to me. He's got a wife and a couple of kids and their whole marriage is torn apart. All because of the flesh and the devil. Anybody listening? Brother Jones, I probably made this statement with you preaching before. Here's about where I got my revival meetings anymore, Brother Sexton. God, I think I tried to do the will of God in the meetings I preached for several years. But I've about got my revival meetings now. I didn't come to make you laugh and shout. I come to tell you we better get sin out of our lives. We are not going to have revival. I don't care. We can shout and jump pews and I'm for that. Promote that. Amen. I'll be the first one doing that with you. But I'm telling you, revival meetings, we better deal with the sin we got in our churches. We better deal with the sin in our lives. And I'm telling you, most of my preaching, and I notice I ain't going back to some of the places I've been going, but I ain't got nothing to do with this. I'm just telling you, I didn't come to play. I come to tell you, we got to deal with sin. Get sin out of our lives. Samson, the Bible said he was in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. Do you think you're greater than a Samson? No, I'm telling you, we're not greater than Samson. We got the same flesh he's got. Hey, he longed for a girl in chapter 14. He lusted after a girl in chapter 16. He loved the girl in chapter 16, verse 4. And he had a lack of grief. I never saw this. I was studying this just a few weeks ago and today. Hey, and that riddle, the riddle he gave them, amen, you know what? He was making light of sin. He gave them a riddle about where the honey come from. You know what he was doing? He was making light of the sin that he committed. Hey, when you begin to get away from God, sin is not as serious as it used to be. Things you used to would say, I would never do that. Now you do it and you make light of it. Amen and amen. Hey, he made a riddle out of the sin that he committed. He started hanging around with the wrong crowd. The Philistines. Hey, when you start hanging around with the wrong crowd, you know the old story. Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. Isn't this amazing, preacher? I probably said this in the years I've been preaching. Isn't this amazing? One rebel can walk in the church and everybody gravitate to him. You watch the young people. One rebel will walk in and they'll all gravitate to him. Let one godly girl walk in and everybody kind of shun her. Y'all better listen to me. Amen and amen. It's not that we don't want lost people to come to our church. But I'm telling you what, we ought not be gravitating to them. We ought to make them welcome. We ought to make them feel we're glad they're here. But I'm going to tell you what, we're not hanging around you because we don't want your worldly ways on our young people. Somebody help me. Amen. Hey, he's hanging around the Philistines now, the wrong crowd. He's gambling. He's gambling. The Bible says, if you do this, I'll give you so much. If I lose, you give me so much. Everybody got that? So now he's gambling. Listen to this. He's even in danger. They said they're going to kill him. When you get away from God, there's no limit to how far you'll go. He lied to Delilah. Girls, I wouldn't go to a boy that lied. I wouldn't go with a boy that lied. Sir, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. Well, I smell beer on you. I smell cigarettes on you. You might be saved, but you ain't sanctified. Somebody help me. You better watch. If you start hanging around with the wrong crowd, you're headed for. I'm giving you a revelation of your life. Read the last chapter on Samson. I preached this in my church. One of my preachers walked to me, come up to me. He said, "Preacher, I ain't questioning. I'm just asking a question because I preached on sin unto death." He said, "Preacher, I ain't never seen that in the light of sin unto death." I said, "Well, put it this way: he killed himself." I had a phone call the other day from one of my church members, and they said, "Preacher, I guess my mind went blank. I wasn't smart enough." Amen. And a girl was working in an office, and she said, "Preacher, do you know of any Christian in the Bible that killed themselves?" And I said, "Wait a minute now. A Christian in the Bible that killed himself?" And we talked then and talked then. I said, "Lord, surely I know a Christian that killed themselves in the Bible." I know a Christian can kill himself. But they wanted the name. And I said, you know, right off the top of my head, I can't think of a Christian in the Bible that killed himself. And then I got to church that night, and we were talking about it, and somebody said, Samson. I said, that is the answer. Samson killed himself. And he's in Hebrews chapter 11, so he was a believer. Can a Christian kill himself? Amen. A Christian can kill himself. Now, you say, wait a minute. Oh, I know a Christian can kill himself, but then he goes to hell. No, a Christian can kill himself and go to heaven. Now, if you believe in eternal salvation, hey, once you're saved, can't nothing get you out of it. Amen. But I don't recommend it. And Samson killed himself. What is the end of Samson's life? He killed himself because he despised his parents' authority. He dismissed all of his heritage. He played with sin. I'm telling you, the end of your life, you can read it here in the life of Samson. If you are a child of God and you follow what Samson did, I can give you a revelation of what your life's going to be like. Amen and amen. You'll be with the wrong crowd. Amen. Hello. Just had a situation in my church. One of my good young girls got with the wrong boy. Listen to me now. We got a phone call. She left home. Nobody knew where she was. She said she went uptown to get a few things uptown. Was gone. And they called me and they said, so-and-so, we can't find so-and-so. Her mama called me and said, preacher, we can't find my daughter, so-and-so. I said, well, how long has she been gone? She said, well, she went uptown. She's been gone 2 hours. She won't answer the phone. I said, oh, we got problems. Yeah, we got problems. So now we called the police department. We got everybody. We got hundreds of people looking for her. So finally, I was sitting in a restaurant with a couple of young boys in my church, and one of them young boys picked up his phone and texted her. Nobody can get a hold. And he texted her back and said, I'm not going to tell you where I am, but I'm all right, and I'm not coming home. I said, what in the world? Man, I raised this girl. I said, what in the world? What in the world is wrong with this girl? You know what it was? Some lost boy. Yeah, God, I didn't come up here to preach all this tonight, preach. I'm telling you, preacher, it's God doing this. Hey, I'm telling you, you start hanging around with the wrong crowd, the flesh and the world's going to get you. I can tell you, just look at the life of Samson. I'm going to tell you, it's written in the Bible. What you start doing, then you'll be lying. Then you'll be deceptive to your parents. How in the world is your turn into a youth meeting? I don't know. I'm just telling you, just follow it in the Bible. Exactly what happened to Samson, that's exactly what's going to happen to us. Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, he lost his liberty. What are you trying to say? They bound him. Amen and amen. He lost his light. They put his eyes out. Hey, what he saw got him in trouble. So now his eyes is put out. He won't see no more. He won't see some pretty woman down at Gaza now. He won't see some Delilah now. He won't see that girl down at Timnath now. God had him let him put his eyes. The world don't care about you. The world wants to use you and abuse you and put you aside. But God loves you. Amen. That's why he set up these standards. That's why God wants us to be separated. Because our flesh cannot handle it. Come on, church. Your flesh can't handle it. My flesh can't handle it. Dear God, I'm 72 years old. And my flesh can't handle it. Amen and amen. He lost his locks. They cut his hair. He lost his light. He lost his liberty. You know what his name is, Samson? I read this today. It means sonny or sonny boy. In other words, Samson was a happy-go-lucky fellow, so to speak. But now he's bound. Now he's grinding round and round. You know what? He was a judge, but now he's being judged. The man who was the judge is now being judged. Anybody listen? He was known for what he destroyed. He was not known for what he constructed. He was known for what he destroyed. Can I give you this? Hey, you can get back. Thank God you can get back. Hey, the Bible said his hair began to grow again. That's the most encouraging verse I've ever read in the Bible. His hair began to grow. I said, there's hope for me. Can you get over the Philistines? They cut his hair and he lost his strength. And I know all of us know this. But would you? I would have been checking him every day. I'd have went in there every day and said, Samson, let me see your head. I don't see no fuzz. We all right. As long as we keep his head shaved, we'll be all right. But they didn't keep checking his hair. I'd have checked it every day. Because if his hair ever grows back, you Philistines are in trouble. Y'all in trouble. And they didn't check his hair. And his hair began to grow. And they didn't even do nothing. You know the world is dumb. They talk like they're so smart, but they're dumb. I bet they knew it when them pillows started falling. We should have checked his hair. Anybody listen? Thank God their restoration is possible. I'm glad for that. Abraham failed and God used him. Hallelujah. Moses killed a man and God used him. David failed and God used him. I mean, the Bible is just full. Joshua failed at Ai and God used him. John Mark failed and God used him. Samson failed and even in his death, God used Samson. I'm glad you can always get a new beginning. And we're having revival. And revival is a new beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, restoration is possible. Restoration is a process. The Bible said his hair began to grow. Listen to me now. Forgiveness is instant. But restoration is involved. Are you listening? Sin has hurt many people in its workings. Matter of fact, even his restoration, a young boy died. Bible said the lad, I assume the lad was still there. When the temple come down, even his restoration, that young boy got killed. When you get away, no telling what you could do when you get away from God. You'll destroy lives of other people. Amen and amen. I'm quitting. I'm through. I'm just about through. Amen. Sin hurts a lot of people. Restoration process can be involved. You can get forgiveness instant. But being restored is another process. Stay with me now. I don't believe the father put the prodigal in charge when he come back from the pig pen. Now here's where the elder brother got messed up. The elder brother, I could understand a little bit if the elder brother got upset over restoration, but the elder brother got upset over forgiveness. Hey, when somebody sins and they come back to the church and they ask forgiveness, it's instant! But you ain't going to teach Sunday school next week. And you ain't going to sing in the choir next week. Because restoration is a process. But we don't want to deal with that today. I'm telling you, I ain't got time to preach that. Amen and amen. Restoration is painful. If you can be restored, the words of sin, the wounds of sin have to be relieved. The bad habits of life must be replaced. The trust of the people has got to be regained. The contempt of the world has to be relived. The Bible said they made sport of him. I understand. One of the readings I read, I understand the word made sport. Man, they made him do a jingle. They made him do a little dance. They made light. Here's the strong man, the he-man, Samson. Now he's doing a little jingle to please the world. I'm telling you, the world has no use for us Christians. And you know what the world likes? I'm telling you, I really believe this. There's a lot of people in the world would like nothing better than to see your church fall. That's how wicked they are. They would like nothing better than to hear your pastors messed up. They would relish that. Amen and amen. Church, you know what? We ain't on a playground. We're on a battlefield. I don't want to take the joy of salvation. I don't want to take the excitement of salvation. I don't want to take the shout of salvation. But we are in a real battle. Amen. Restoration. Amen. When there are significant failures in the life of somebody, normally the result of the accumulation of years of disobedience shows up. Hey, that's what happened to Samson. It was Timnath, it was Gaza, it was Delilah, it was despising his mom and daddy's authority. Hey, all these things mounted up. If you see that in your life, you better find an altar because I'm telling you where you're headed. Restoration involves problems. Notice this, his hair grew back, his strength was regained, but he didn't get his sight back. Some things when you get away from God, you can never get back. Hey, he did not cease to be a prisoner even though he was forgiven. The thief on the cross got saved, but he didn't get to take him off the cross. Amen. In restoration, innocent people are hurt, we said. The lad got killed. Restoration is limited. Restoration is limited. Let me tell you something now. And this is where we're losing today. When a man gets in sin in the ministry, immoral sin, It's over. You cannot be a preacher and get in a moral sin and go back in the pulpit right. Now, I'm telling you, there's a big battleground on that today. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of the preachers used to stand on that, ain't standing on that no more. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm big and bad because I ain't big nor bad. But I'm going to tell you where I'm standing. I started this way, and a lot of the preachers that taught me this way are changing their mind. I ain't changing my mind. You lose some things when you get away from God that you cannot get back. I didn't say you couldn't be forgiven. I didn't say you couldn't serve God. But you have forfeited some things that you cannot get back. Amen and amen. Is anybody listening? His desire was to be back with the Lord. His discipline was severe. I'm through. The issue of forgiveness is never an issue. It's the issue in restoration that some things have to be dealt with. Could I say for Samson, it was permanent. God let him die. Are y'all listening to me? And I don't want to confuse nobody. But this is an Old Testament writing. I am telling you, in the New Testament, the Bible said you can't send a sin unto death. We won't preach that much no more. I'm telling you what, I am about to the point. We served the Lord's Supper in our church back about, a year ago. We served the Lord's Supper in our church. And I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to know the flock. And everybody does it different. Amen. But when we have the Lord's Supper, that's all we do that night. We just have the Lord's Supper. I used to preach a sermon and then put that tact out on the end. But it's so vital in our church. So I just make the whole service now nothing but the Lord's Supper. And I watched this guy take the Lord's Supper. Y'all listening to me? And I thought to myself, I'm not his judge, but I am his pastor. I thought, and I just go through all that. The Bible said that some were sick, some was weak. Y'all listening to me? Some had even died. And I watched this guy take the Lord's Supper. And I thought to myself, and I know you got to be politically correct now, so let me just preach and don't be political. You're judging, preaching. No, I'm the pastor. And I watched him take the Lord's Supper. I thought, that ain't good. So anyway, the next service he come to me, and this is what he said. He said, preacher, I'm going to tell you something. I said, what? He said, I should have got this right the other night, but I want to tell you what. He said, I thought I was going to die Monday. I said, really? He said, out of nowhere a sickness come on me, and I literally thought for about a day or two I was going to die. And I said, you took the Lord's Supper? He said, yeah, but I'll never do that again. He's telling me the Bible's right. Some are sick. He took the Lord's Supper with sin in his life, and God let him think he was going to die. But the Bible said some did die. No, it didn't. It said many died. Said, many are weak, many are sick, and many died. Every time I quote it wrong. I said, some are sick, some are weak. Now, what it said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, said, many's weak, many sick, and many have died. We can't play with sin, church. This Bible's right, we're wrong. 1 John said there is sin. I don't know if you want to put it in that category, but Samson died, and he died, I believe, because he got away from God. Thank God he got forgiveness. But he died because of his sin. Now, preacher, are you suggesting I'm here tonight and I'm in sin and I'm a Christian? I'm going to die? I ain't suggesting nothing. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Here's what the Bible said. He sent you a message tonight to tell you to get it right. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, I read in Hebrews chapter 11, time would fail to tell of Samson. There's so much more we could say, but I feel like I said what you wanted me to say tonight. Please honor the Word of God. Speak to the hearts of people. Help, Lord, I guess, God, somehow or another, this message has got aimed at the young people tonight. God, please work in their hearts and lives and help them to get it settled that they know they're saved. God, help them to get it settled. They want to live, Lord, apart from the world and be used of God. Speak to us in this hour. Bless this invitation. Help people to respond. Holy Spirit of God, we are dependent on you. I've stumbled and stumbled tonight, but God, the Holy Ghost, knows the intent of my heart. Use the message to help somebody tonight. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here tonight and God spoke to your heart. You have a need to come. Would you do that at this time? Amen. I've asked the pastor to come. Pastor, I'm going to let you give the invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. You obey the Lord tonight.